Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people into a growing relationship with God. Life Change. We're so grateful that you chose to listen to today's message. And in the future, we want to make this experience better for you by giving you the opportunity to watch videos as well. But to do that, we need your help. We need your help in raising funds for video equipment. So if you'd like to donate, please go to our website at www.mylifechangechurch.com and click the link to give online, and you can use the drop-down box for video equipment. Thanks so much for your support. And as always, we hope this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All righty. Well, hey, good morning. Just want to say today we're going to conclude this series called The Event. And if you remember from last week, I did something crazy and I actually ran a full marathon. So before we get started, I'm going to let you know I finished. And I'm just going to go ahead and wear this for the whole entire sermon. Just to throw that out there. I think it'll be fun, right? So, but hey, last week, I did something kind of as a bucket list item that I kind of was one of those life goals that I wanted to do. And I just want to let you know that I did finish the full marathon, and it was crazy. And I want to just take a quick moment. I'm going to kind of tell a little bit of story, so it'll be a little bit of story time with Corbin up here as well. But I also just want to take a quick moment and thank you guys, each and every one of you guys. I definitely felt your guys' prayers, and I could feel like just that there's power behind me as well, and I definitely felt your support as well. So last week we did something a little bit different, and you probably don't see it in most churches, but we did a video-based message, so we kind of took a risk with that. But it was really because you guys are willing to support and be a church plant where, man, everything is up for change, right? That's kind of who we are. So, and John did an incredible job of really putting that video together. So if you see John Odom, he's not here today. He took a week off, I guess. But he did an incredible job of putting that together. So if you see him, make sure you thank him for that and just say, hey, man, it was put together in a great way as well. But so really, though, we've gone through this, and I'm just going to tell the story of my marathon run, if that's cool with you. So story time with Corbin right here. So really, when I did this, I went into this as a real big goal that I wanted to accomplish. And I didn't realize how hard the marathon was actually going to be. Like, I'm going to be completely honest, it was like the hardest thing physically that I have ever done. Now, I've run some different runs before. Like, I may be a little bit on the thicker side, but I actually like to run, like to work out a little bit, and I can actually hold my own, right? So I've done some different mud runs. I've done some different, like, I've probably done a number of half marathons. I've done a bunch of 5Ks. I've done some 100-mile bike rides plus, even. So I've done all these things. So I'm thinking, you know what, a marathon really probably couldn't be that bad. But it was like the hardest thing that I've ever done physically. And what's incredible about it is that I think God was really teaching me a lot of stuff throughout the marathon and throughout the actual event itself. So I'm going to kind of share with you, because I feel like I'm supposed to share this with you as well, and even how it kind of relates to the vision of Life Change Church. So I'm just kind of to show you kind of what happened, kind of tell you how it went. So again, I did finish the marathon. That was my goal, was to finish a complete marathon, 26.2 miles. And I did complete the marathon, and I did it in 4 hours and 46 minutes. And it's kind of crazy. I had 4 hours and 46 minutes of just complete running, right? But my goal, I'm going to be honest, my goal was to complete it. But I had, like, you know how you always have a goal inside your head as well. Like, I wanted it to be better than that. Like, I wanted it to be 4:30 and under. And when I'm going through this run, like, I was doing great. Like, I was on pace to hit that as well. So Travis and I, if you see Travis, make sure you congratulate him. He did an incredible job. He actually ran the half marathon and crushed it. It was his first half marathon. So Travis and I, though, we ran together at the beginning of the race together. And I was feeling, like, fantastic at the beginning. I was running. I was going pretty quick. Like, there's 1 mile that I was actually, like, under a 9-minute mile, which isn't probably a good thing, but I was moving right along, and I was on pace to be like under 4:05 for this. And I kept running. I'm like, okay, I feel pretty good. And I should have, if I would have smarter, but again, this is my first marathon. If I was smarter, I would have paced myself at the beginning, and it probably wouldn't have got so bad towards the end, which I'll tell you about. There was even a guy that I saw, and we started talking, and he was, from his training, we were talking about our training while we were running. His training was like dead on to where I was. We were about the same. We're going through it. In the beginning, he's like, hey, I'm going to back up a little bit. I'm going to slide back and go a little slower. So I'm like, I feel great. I'm going to keep going. So I continue to move forward. I should have stayed back with him, because at like mile 23, I see him go, woo. See you, dude. Man. And I even looked him up. I looked up his ending run. He was like 4:24 or something. So if I would have just stayed with him, I could have got there. But anyways, I was running, and I was doing great until about mile 17. And I was running. I was really on pace for about a 4:05 finish until about mile 17. And then mile 17, I ended up slowing down a little bit, which wasn't too bad. I was okay with that. I'm thinking like, this is pretty good. Mile 17, and that's where I'm slowing down? I got this. I like this. This is good. So then I was really on pace for like a 4:15 or a 4:20 completion from like mile 17 to mile 23. Well, mile 23, things got a little crazy. See, from miles 20 to 26, that was uncharted territory. That's like the unknown. Because in my training, I never actually ran over 20 miles. I just ran 20 miles, but nothing over that. Because everything I was reading about talked about how, like, from miles 20 to 26, it basically breaks down your body. We'll talk a little bit about that later and how just encouraging and great that was. But here I am. I'm at mile 23. And then I hit to what they refer to as the wall. And let me just tell you, I hit the wall like hard. Like I actually think the wall pretty much hit me. Like I'm running and every break, so there's water about every mile. So every mile, I was actually drinking some water. I'm a little bit OCD, so I kind of got in this pattern and this rhythm. So every water break I would go through, and they say to like actually walk during the water breaks because it allows the water to get inside you and actually hydrate you a little bit, and your body doesn't really know that you're walking. So it's not like a shock to it when you start running again. So I did that. So every water break, I would walk and I would grab 2 glasses of water. I'd drink it, walk, drink it, and then the moment I finished the last bit of water in the second cup, I would throw the water down and start running again. And it was working like great for me until mile 23. Mile 23, I went to the water station, walked, and then I went to go for a run again. I started to run, and then like my whole right leg had this like this shooting pain up and down my leg. Like I literally felt like someone was with a baseball bat with like needles and glass shards just swinging away at my leg. I'm like, this is great, right? This is the wall and it's crushing me, right? So I actually had to walk at that point. I couldn't run anymore. You could see like the little golf ball size thing going up in my calf. I'm like, dude, I'm done with that. So I walked for about 2.5 miles. And then meanwhile, as you probably knew, that like the tracking system didn't work for me, so I was kind of just lost all last week. So my wife was just in straight panic mode, like wondering if I just took off. I just went to go get pancakes instead of running a marathon. That's what she thought. No, so my tracking was completely off. So while I'm walking, I'm like, oh, so I'll decide to look at my phone. I could feel it going off a bunch. There was like 20 some text messages from all you guys encouraging. So I just want to thank you for that. But I did look at my wife, and she's like, where are you at? Blah blah blah, and she could tell she had the panic in there. So I'm like, listen. I'm at mile 23. I'm walking, but I'm going to finish. So then they started walking towards my way, towards the end of it. And then at about mile 25, just a little bit over 25, I saw Sarah, I saw Travis, I saw Leah, and then I saw Travis's mom as well. They're there starting to encourage me. And what's crazy is this, is because Travis actually did the half, he was allowed to come back on the course. And Travis actually helped me run the last 3/4 of a mile again with that, the last mile basically. So there's Travis and I running right there, right? And Travis is actually behind me, like, and he's basically straight ex-military, right? So he's like screaming at me behind me, going nuts, saying, you got this, like, he probably looked like an insane man, but man, it allowed me to dig deep, and all of a sudden I was able to run again. And I was even able to sprint, like we are actually passing people at the end, giving it everything I got. So I was able to finish and go really hard, right? I was able to end that really, 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 really well. So I was pretty proud of myself with that and was able to end it running because Travis was there. But really through this event, I feel like God was really messing with me. He was really revealing a lot of things to me. And it was really an incredible day. So I kind of wanted to share just a little bit about this. So after the race, we go through the finish line and we kind of walk and we kind of hung out, kind of walked around the event itself. So it was Travis's parents, Leah, we were all together and Sarah, and we're kind of walking through this. And then we end up walking to the car and it was just Sarah and I. And like Sarah knows me better than anybody else. So she kind of looked at me, she's like, hey, how are you feeling? Like, not like how you feeling like physically, because obviously that wasn't the greatest at that moment. But she's like, how do you feel? Like, what's going on in your head? So I told her, I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm pretty mad right now. Like, I was pretty upset. Like, I finished a complete marathon, but, like, I didn't hit my goal. And, like, to me, like, I was like, feeling like a failure. Like, I felt like, man, I couldn't even, like, in my head, this is what I thought. Like, I couldn't even run 26.2 full miles while I'm running by these kids. And this is for the Children's Hospital again. And I see these kids who are, like, fighting every day for their life, or they're fighting or have fought for their life and won. And I can't even run 26.2 miles. Like, I felt like a complete failure. And what's crazy is that, I mean, obviously I just finished a marathon. I shouldn't feel like a failure, but I did. And then Sarah said something, I think God was speaking directly through her. She makes me way better than I ever am. But she said this profound statement. She says this. She said, I read somewhere that Satan is in no hurry to get you to fail. Satan is in no hurry to get you to fail. Satan's in no hurry to get you to struggle. He's in no hurry to get you to feel like you're a failure. He's in no hurry to get you to give up, right? And I thought through that. I'm like, man, like that's insane, right? If you look at it, at mile 23, and mile 23 is where I decided where I needed to walk. Like I was going through, I felt strong all the way through it. And then at mile 23, that's where I decided, like, man, you know what? I have a choice. I can either give up or I can keep walking, but I'm not gonna be able to run here, but I gotta keep moving forward, right? That was at that decision there. And if you think about it, all that's left at that point is like a 5K, like just a little bit over 3 miles. If you think about 3 miles compared to 26 miles, that's like nothing. 3 miles compared to the 23 miles I already did, that's nothing. But that's where my legs started hurting. But I didn't quit. I kept walking. I kept continuing on. And what's crazy, too, is at the end of it, I even felt like a failure after I completed it because Satan was in no hurry to get me to fail. He's trying to get me to doubt myself. And I think we might need to hear that even in different areas of our life. That doesn't just apply to running, but I think there's times where we go through something, and it may be a struggle, it may be something hard, and then we feel like a failure after it. But not because we're a failure, but because Satan is trying to get us to feel that way. Satan's trying to play mind games with us. And that's what happened with me. And then when Sarah said that, I realized, you know what, I need to be grateful. I need to be grateful that I was able to finish, that I was able to complete the race, that I was able to continue on and even walk through it. I need to be grateful because I could say the memory verse that we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks in 2 Timothy 4:7, where it says, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, and I've kept the faith. Again, this is our memory verse, and I want each of us to say this after we go through an event. If you haven't written this down, write this down. But 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, and I've kept the faith. In fact, I even wrote those on my arm, so every time I look down where I want to quit, I'm like, nope, gotta do it, because there's lots of people back there who I'm telling this verse to, right? But I think if you break it down, we all have these fights. We all have these events. We all have these trials, these struggles in our life. And I believe that God wants us to learn from each and every one of them. I believe that God wants us to learn from these events. And I think he wants us to grow. And he wants us to use these events to make us better. To live out what he truly has planned for us. To live in victory. I think God wants us to live in victory, saying that I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And I believe as a church, we are called to live this out. I believe as a church, we need to be able to go through each event and say this exact phrase. And I was looking through this, and as I kind of reflected, like Sunday was, I should have just completely like sat down and written a blog the whole time. But I was thinking through all these things. I'm looking at this race, and I saw how it kind of related to the church as well. And one of the main things is this, as I'm looking at 26.2 miles and how it relates to the vision of the church. And what I realize is this, is that, man, we are in it for the long haul. Like, I don't know if we've ever said that before or not, and I hope you guys know that, but as a church planters, as a pastors of you guys, as Sarah and I, we are in it for Life Change Church. We are in it for the long haul. This isn't just a startup thing. This isn't just something we want to start and do, but we are in it completely for the long haul. We are in it to love people to life change, and we need your help as well. Again, the vision of the church is to love people to life change, to love people into a growing relationship with Jesus. And what that means is I believe that we're going to see multiple people make decisions for Jesus. I believe that we're going to see multiple people who have struggles in their marriages. I believe that we're going to see healing within those marriages. I believe that we're going to see people who are struggling with anxiety or struggling with brokenness. I believe that we're going to see that bondage of those things. I believe that we're going to see those broken. We're going to see people walk in freedom. I believe that we're going to see people who don't have a relationship with Jesus experience Jesus in a way they never have before. And what that looks like is that looks like a growing church. And just kind of to throw this out there, this is kind of where we want to be. Like as a church, I don't believe we're really called to be a mega church. I think really one of the things that we thrive on, if you look around, we thrive on relationships. I think you see that people, one of our goals is so that people are always connected with each other. But at the same time, we always want to make an impact for our community. We always want to make an impact for those who don't know Jesus. And to do that, I think what we're going to see is we're going to see growth within the church. And then what we're going to see is we're going to actually go to multiple services as well. So just to kind of break this down, I don't know if I ever said this, but as a church, when we grow to about 150, that's including kids and everything, when we grow to about 150 consistently, that's when we will go to a second service. And then once both services are averaging about 150, we would go to a third service. And the third service is going to be designed for some of those entrepreneurial type people, right? The third service is actually going to be designed for people because we're going to use that third service as a church that's going to go out and make another site church. And then we'll continue that over again. I believe that God's really going to help us make an impact in Newark Heath and Granville by placing different churches in different areas, whether it's the west end of Newark, the north end of Newark, Heath, Granville, all throughout there. I think God's going to move in that area. But it really all starts where we are right now, by loving people to life change, loving the people that God's already placed in our lives. That includes our family. I think we all know a family member that probably doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. That's maybe not even really plugged in a church. I think God's called us to love them to life change. God's called us to love our coworkers. He's called us to love our neighbors, to love our friends. I think He's strategically placed each and every one of us in certain areas of our life that we can tap into somebody that somebody else can't, that we can have a relationship with, that leads them to a growing relationship with Jesus. And then they can lead us here where, man, they have a support system around them, that when they go through a struggle, when they go through a trial, they know that they can call on somebody else. And the crazy thing is, kind of with this marathon, I looked at it, there's always different phases of that period, of that growth period as well. Like, there's going to be times where we're moving fast, right, where we're feeling good. There's going to be times where, man, we feel like we want to quit, where we want to just walk, right? There's going to be times where we need to take a water break. And there's going to be times where we need to recover as well. So going through this run, I kind of felt like God was speaking all these different things to me. And I felt like it just related so well to the vision of the church. And I just wanted to share that with you. I just wanted to encourage you. Like, if you look around, you think, like, man, this is incredible. I think it's only going to get better. And I think God's going to do some incredible things. But we play a part and pouring into the people that we know as well. And there's all the different phases of a growth as well. And there's all the different phases of our life as well. So I want to share a little bit about that, but I also want to share a little bit about this past week. And I'm going to kind of talk about this, and this is where I want to spend a lot of the time today as we conclude the series. I want to talk about the recovery that I went through this series. And this is what I learned this week. I learned that recovery is the last step of one event and the first step towards the next. Recovery is the last step of one event and the first step towards the next. I think in any area of life, I believe the process of recovery must be implemented. See, I don't think we're able to fully experience or even fully endure the next thing in our lives if we don't properly recover from the past. Recovery must be a part of a regular process, and I think we need to know what to expect in recovery as well. So for me, I did a little bit of research on how to recover from a marathon. And I'll just tell you, I wasn't really able to walk well until Thursday. Like, it was bad. But I actually knew that. Like, it wasn't a surprise to me because everything I was reading said that, you know what, you're going to be in pain until Thursday. It said don't do anything for, like, a whole week, right? So, like, Monday I woke up and, like, Sunday actually wasn't that bad. Sunday I was actually still walking around. I felt pretty good. But then Monday I woke up and I was completely locked up. I was, like, walking like the Tin Man. It was terrible. Couldn't go down the stairs without, like, doing the, you know, the one step at a time thing. Going upstairs, I basically just crawled like my kid, which they were way faster than I ever could be that route anyways. But Monday I was terrible. Tuesday was actually even worse. Tuesday I did get a massage, so the pain subsided for about an hour and a half. And then after that, it was like completely back to like walking like a board and terrible. And then Wednesday, some of the soreness and the stiffness had subsided, but then they had this pain of like some of these lingering injuries. I'm like, well, my knee doesn't quite feel right. Like, I can't really put pressure on it or else it feels like it's going to go. My Achilles was still like super, super sore. So I had all these, and then my back was sore as well. But then on Thursday, I was able actually to walk normal. In fact, I think Sarah even took a video of me walking down the stairs and says, look, you're all grown up now. You can walk down the stairs, right? But that's kind of what I did. And everything I even read about recovery, it says don't do anything for like a week to 40 days. So I took advantage of that and I ate donuts every morning this week. And, you know, it was recovery week, so I did all that. But really, what happens is that there's damage that's done to your body. And then for a marathon, the damage happens between 20 and 26. Like from miles 20 to 26, this is why, like in the training process, I never ran over 20 miles, because from miles 20 to 26, you're doing damage to like your skeletal muscle, right? It says you're doing damage to your cell structure, and actually there's cellular damage that happens. And then you're actually severely compromising your immune system as well. And I'm pretty sure I like did all of this. And I just felt great because all this, it happened to me. This is probably why I hit that wall in mile 23. But this is really why recovery is so critical. If you think about it, there's no way that I could have even run this past week. I would have only done more damage. I actually would have injured myself more. Because recovery is the last step of one event, and it's the first step of the next. And this is true really for all of our lives. I think each event that we face, I think each struggle that we face, each trial that we face that pushes us to a different limit, that pushes us to a limit in our lives, I think it really we're susceptible to damaging ourselves if we don't fully recover from it. And think about this. You may have even experienced this before. Maybe you had like a trial at work, like something happened at work, right? Maybe you even got overlooked for like a promotion at work at one time. And then instead of really recovering from it, instead of recovering from that time where maybe you got hurt, you kind of held a grudge. You operated out of jealousy. You operated out of really just anger towards that. What did that do for you? It hurt you more, right? It hurt you more and more. You're really only hurting yourself. Maybe you've even done this in a marriage or even a struggle with your family. Maybe you turn those fights into bigger fights. And maybe you had a fight or something and it turned into a bigger fight. And maybe even, like, think about this, like, you just had, like, a little argument with your wife or spouse, right? Maybe you had a little argument with your child. But instead of, like, really recovering from it, instead of, like, asking for forgiveness, instead of forgiving, you held on to that. And then it continued to pile up and pile up and pile up. Maybe there was a little lie that you told that turned into a bigger lie. I don't know, as a kid, but you know how when we're kids, we tell one little white lie, the next thing you know, we're in this whole mess of lies, because we never actually came clean from that one lie. We never recovered from that. So it continued to add on and add on and add on. And maybe you've seen this in your financial life as well, where maybe you were late on a payment, which caused you to be late on another payment. And then it kind of snowballed, right? Or maybe you got one credit card, then it led to another credit card. Maybe then it led to another loan. And then all of a sudden you're in this huge pile of debt because you never took care of that problem in the beginning. Because you never fully recover from it. And the crazy thing is these all lead over to the next phase, and they can cause damage, they can cause injury, they can cause hurt, and they can cause pain. And not only in just that one phase of life, but they also leak over to each phase of life. They can tie to each area, and they can tie to us spiritually as well. If we push ourselves to the breaking point in one area, it can cause damage to the next if we don't fully recover. It can cause us to be more likely to be injured. It can cause us more likely to be hurt. Recovery is the last step of one event, and it's the first step towards the next. And if you look at it, Jesus understood this, and he demonstrated this in Mark chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, you can go there with me, but Mark chapter 6, I'm going to summarize a portion of this today and just read just a little bit of it, but I would challenge you to write this down and then go back and read through this whole story in Mark chapter 6. Again, if you don't have a Bible, we do have Bibles in the back. And again, I challenge you to always download the YouVersion Bible app. It's an incredible resource that you can put on your phone or tablet. There's different reading plans. There's just a great resource for you to have. But go back and read Mark chapter 6 this week, because Mark chapter 6, it really picks up when Jesus' ministry was rolling. Here's Jesus. He was not only really gaining followers at this point, but he was equipping the leaders. He was developing these leaders. He has his 12 disciples, and what he does is he gets them ready to preach, to heal, and to cast out demons. And he actually sends these 12 disciples out two by two. So he's becoming a leader of leaders at this point. So his disciples, they go out, and they share about Jesus. They do these miracles. They do all these things. They're pushing themselves to limits where they had never been before. They're walking in complete faith. And this is happening. Why this is happening, it's revealed that there's a guy named John the Baptist who was murdered and had beheaded at that time as well. Now, this is significant because John the Baptist was the guy that kind of prepared the way for Jesus. John the Baptist is really the guy that was there at the start of Jesus' ministry. John the Baptist is the guy who told about how amazing Jesus is going to be and how incredible Jesus is going to be. And God used John the Baptist to set the stage for Jesus. And the disciples knew this. So here the disciples are. They have two things going for them, right? They have this momentum because they're doing all these things. But then they also have this bad news that somebody that's on their own, right? Like John the Baptist was one of the only other partners in ministry that Jesus even had. So they have this guy who has just been beheaded. So for them, they think that they should probably press on, right? They should probably continue to ride this momentum. They should continue just to move forward and keep going. Because even with John the Baptist being headed, that's a big blow, but you need to continue to move on. But I love what Jesus does in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 32. It says this. It says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and told him about all the things they had done and taught. Crowds of people were coming and going so that Jesus and his followers did not even have the time to eat. And he said to them, come away by yourselves and we will go to a lonely place to get some rest. So they went in a boat by themselves to a lonely place. Here's Jesus, right? And he has himself and he gets his disciples and he removes himself from the ministry. He removes himself from the everything that's going on right there so that he can take a moment and rest, so that he can take a moment and recover. He takes himself out of the heat of that moment. He takes his disciples out of that moment. Again, they could have easily looked at the death of John and said, at the death of John the Baptist and said, you know what, we need to press on. We can't stop now. They could have easily taken the momentum of the crowd, like they had all these people following them. They could have easily ridden the momentum of the crowd. They could have fallen into the hype. But Jesus is so intentional in taking a moment to rest and to recover. He knew that recovery is the last step of one event and the first step towards the next. And Jesus knew what was next as well. As after they rested in Mark chapter 6, it continues on with one of the most famous stories in the Bible, with one of the most famous stories about Jesus. It's the feeding of the 5,000. Here's because Jesus and his disciples were able to recover. What's incredible is that they were able to feed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And there were even leftovers as well. Jesus was intentional about recovery. In fact, it's even a part of who he is. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says this. It says, come to me, all of you who are tired and have heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Accept my teachings and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your lives. The burden that I ask you to accept is easy. The load I give to you to carry is light. Jesus came to this earth so that we could continue on, so that we could fulfill God's purpose for our life. Jesus came to this earth so that we could truly live in peace and recover from our mess, from our mistakes, from our sins, from the things that we've done wrong. That's why Jesus came to earth, so that we could recover from those and have a relationship with God. God sent his son Jesus so that we could take the next step. Recovery is the last step of one event and the first step towards the next. So think about, what do you need to recover from before you take that next step? Maybe for you, maybe it's in your marriage, right? Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's even spiritually. But what do you need to recover from? And think about what could happen if we fully recover, if we took time to recover before we took that next step. For Jesus and the disciples, that meant feeding the 5,000. That meant this incredible miracle. But for us, if we took time to recover, maybe that means just a reconciliation of a relationship. Maybe that means the result of having this relationship that we thought was broken, that we had some pain or hurt in, maybe that results in a closer bond than we ever could imagine. Maybe financially, that means, you know what, maybe that means that we fully recover financially from something, from a mistake that we made, from a decision that we made. And because we fully recover, we experience a financial blessing and we're able to bless others in a way that we would have never even thought. Or maybe at work. Maybe at work that means forgiving somebody that crossed you. Maybe that means getting over something that happened to you. And because of that, maybe you experience a work environment that you never even thought you could, right? Think about what could happen if we didn't carry the pain from a past event into the next event, and if we fully recovered it. Recovery is the last step of one event, and it's the first step towards the next. And one of the biggest questions I got after I did this marathon is this: will you do another marathon? The answer is pretty simple. Yes, because I'm not right in the head, and I definitely want to get under 4:30. But I do. Like, I think through that. I'm like, what's the next thing, right? What's the next thing? Once you go through one thing, you're usually asking yourself, okay, what's next? And for me, I do. I want to do another marathon. So physically speaking, that's what I want to do. And then next year, there's actually something even crazier. There's a half Ironman that's in Ohio. Don't tell my wife any of these things yet. No, she knows. But there's a half Ironman that's actually in Ohio that I want to do as well. But I know for to me to do any of these things, I have to fully recover. So if you look at it, I'll give you a quick breakdown of what my last week looked like. This is what I did in case you want to know. Right when I crossed the finish line, I continued to walk. Because recovery actually happens when you cross the finish line. That's when it begins. And everything I read, it says continue to walk. Don't just shut down. Don't just stop right there, but continue to walk. And I found that interesting, is that you continue to walk. So we walked for another 20 to 25 minutes, and we walked around downtown, we walked around at the event, and then eventually we got to the car where I kind of shut down a little bit. Then the next thing I did was I ate some food. Like, I'm not going to lie, we got through Columbus and we got through New Albany, and I said, you know what, stop at Chipotle because I'm going to crush a chicken and rice bowl with extra rice. So that's what I did. I ate a big old bowl of rice and chicken from Chipotle, and my Runkeeper app actually showed that I burned 4,409 calories. Like, I needed to replenish that in some way. And then when I got home, believe it or not, I took a shower. For some reason, I might have smelled a little weird after running 26.2 miles. So I cleaned myself, took a shower, actually took an ice bath as well, which if you've never taken an ice bath, just do one for fun. It's insane. But it gets I could actually feel my legs again. I'm like, wow, it was really neat. I couldn't breathe for a while, but I could feel my legs again. And then I went to sleep. Sunday afternoon, I took about a two-hour nap. So I slept, took a rest there, and then from there on, I basically rested the rest of the week for the most part. Like, I didn't go run. I didn't do any type of workout for the most part at all. Like, Sunday night, if you came out to our Connect Hangout, it was a pretty relaxing Connect Hangout. Like, I just sat there and chilled, watched a fire, talked to some people, and then I did that basically throughout the week until Friday, I went for a two-mile walk. But that was kind of the recovery process for me in this physical activity. But I think that it kind of relates very well to some things that we need to do in our lives. If we've gone through an event, we've gone through something that's even caused us some type of stress that we need to recover from. I think we can apply this to our lives. So if that's you today, if you're at a point where, you know what, man, I've gone through this struggle, I've gone through this event, and I just need to recover. Let me challenge you first to walk. First thing is to walk. Sometimes the truth is we just need to slow down. We don't need to fully stop, but we need to slow down. Recovery does not mean giving up. It doesn't mean quitting. Sometimes we just need to walk. We may be going through something tough right now, right? You may be wanting to quit, but the answer isn't to quit. It may just mean to slow down and to walk, to cool off, to keep moving. And I think it's interesting that our relationship with God is often referred to as our walk with God or our spiritual walk. It's not always a run. It's not always a sprint. What's an area of your life where you just need to walk in? What's a struggle or event where you need to slow down to begin to recover? And walking is this. Walking is just a simple, it's an action. Walking is an action that's a simple action of a slow step. Are there some slow steps that you need to take in your life right now? I think walking is the first step to recovery. Number two is replenish. Replenish. The things that we go through in life, they take effort. They take energy from us. Often the things they're wearing, if we get in a fight with our spouse, we get in a fight with our kid, that is exhausting sometimes, right? If we have the stress of not having enough money to pay our bills, that's exhausting. If we come home from work with having terrible days of work, it's frustrating, right? It's exhausting. It takes energy away from us. So what are you doing to replenish that energy? What are you doing to replenish that effort? What are you doing to recover? What are you putting in your life to rebuild you back up? If you have a struggle in your marriage, maybe to replenish that struggle, maybe it could be just going back to something simple, right? Going back to the basics, looking at pictures of a wedding day, of a good memory, right? It could be going back just to having fun again, maybe even just going on dates again, right? If you're struggling financially, maybe you need to replenish yourself by telling your money where to go through budgeting as opposed to letting it tell you where to go. Maybe you just need to simplify your life, like get rid of those items that you pay for that you don't even use, right? And if you're struggling mentally or emotionally, maybe you just need to find encouragement. Maybe you need to read books. Maybe you need to listen to podcasts that are positive. Maybe you need to surround yourself with positive people. Truth is, negative people, they're not going to replenish you. They're going to drain you. So if you're a negative person, let me just speak to you real quick. Guess what? You're not a replenisher. You're not building people up. So if you're a negative person, why don't you change that around? Become a positive person and encourage others. We need to replenish ourselves. And the number three thing is we need to cleanse ourselves. Again, I mentioned I took a shower and an ice bath, probably because I smelled a little bit, right? The truth is, many events that we go through, many of the struggles we go through, they're going to leave us a little bit messy. They're going to leave us a little bit smelly, right? And we shouldn't take that mess to the next event. Or rather, we need to get clean. So what are you doing to cleanse yourself as a part of recovery? And what does that mean for you? For you, that may mean breaking a habit that you've created, right? For you, that may mean asking forgiveness. That may mean even forgiving as well. And it may just mean that you're simply saying a simple prayer over and over again. If like in Psalms 51:10, it says this. It says, create in me a pure heart, God, and make my spirit right again. Maybe you need to write that down. Maybe you need to say that over and over again so that you can cleanse yourself and take that time to recover. And the fourth thing is to rest. Take a break. Slow down and rest. Again, in Matthew 11:28, it states, that here's Jesus. He's saying, come to me, all of you who are tired and have heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Spend time with Jesus. Don't spend time with Jesus trying to impress him, but rather spend time with Jesus just resting. Spend time with Jesus letting him be your strength. Is there an area of your life where you need to slow down? Is there an area of your life where you need to really allow Jesus to provide peace and rest? I think what's crazy about this whole marathon, too, is that I felt God speak to me so much. But I think one of the reasons why I felt that is because I was at a point of completely drained. Like, I had nothing left of me, so all I had to do was I had to rely on him. I think we need sometimes to get to a point where we are completely resting. And the truth is, it's not always comfortable. The truth is, it often makes us feel uneasy because we always want to move forward. We want to go, go, go. But when we fully rest, it allows Jesus to take control and allows for us to recover. Corey, if you could please come up. Recovery is the last step of one event and the first step towards the next. So let me ask you, where are you at today? Are you at a place where you need to recover from something? Are you at a place where you need to recover from an event so that you can fully experience and fully endure what God has next for you? Maybe God's asking you just to slow down and walk. Maybe God's asking you to take some time and replenish yourself in some area of life by placing somebody that's encouraging to you. And maybe God's asking you to cleanse yourself of the mess that you created, the mess that you got yourself in, or somebody else got you in as well. Or maybe you just need to rest in his presence. As we close, I just want to give you a chance to respond. So everybody should have got a card. Should have been a card within that bulletin there. So pull that out and take this time to respond. I'll give you just, I always want to end by giving an opportunity for salvation as well. I want to give an opportunity just to have a relationship with Jesus. So if you're here today and maybe God's calling you to rest and you've never rested in before, maybe you've never even had a relationship with him before, or maybe you did but you've walked away and God's calling you to jump back into that relationship. If that's you, I want to give you that opportunity. What I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three and I want to say a prayer with you. When I get to three, I just want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to stand up or anything. I just want you to raise your hand at your seat and I'll say a simple prayer with you right there. So one, with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed. Two, God is asking you to start a relationship with him. Three, raise your hand. Let's pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son so that I can have a relationship with you and I can rest in you. God, help me recover from all the things that I've done so I can walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.lifechangechurch.com.
mylifechangechurch.com, and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.